What will haunt you this scary night? These spooky sounds, these ghastly frights. Drinks are stirred, we're all alight. The other side is near us. Tell me a story, tell me a tale of demons and ghosts beyond the veil. A chilling shriek, a thrilling wail. Welcome to Stirred Spirits.
Hello, hello! Welcome back to Stirred Spirits for a special bonus episode. It's Halloween when we're releasing this, right, Hadley?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's Halloween.
Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween. Hope you're looking forward to all the seasonal activities. I'm your host, Thomas Aradarian.
I'm your other host, Hadley Dion.
And we have the most special guest we've ever had today on the show.
We always say special guest, but
this one is particularly special guest. Who are you, special guest?
I'm Damona Hoffman.
Lovely.
Paranormal enthusiast, former vice president of programming at the Sci-Fi Channel.
Nice,
among other
nice.
Things.
What
else do you want to know?
Let's see. You're my former boss.
Yeah, how did you guys know each other?
Yeah, Damona was my employer for a blissful year and a half, or a little over a year and a half.
Was it blissful for you too, Damona?
It was. Yeah. It was. I cried when he left.
Oh.
But yeah, I have another podcast called Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman, which is not about ghosts at all.
No, maybe the ghosts of boyfriends past or girlfriends past, perhaps.
Totally.
But yeah,
yeah, relationship and dating advice.
Well, as we all know, Hadley's single, so maybe she should listen.
Hey, I see shots are being fired very early in the morning.
What are we drinking, Damona?
Oh, we're drinking the finest of fine champagne, which I will say I'm very proud that I opened my first champagne bottle in about, I don't know, 10 years.
Yeah, it was
before you were legal.
Yeah.
It went off without a hitch.
It
was just so smooth. I feel like now I'm going to be opening champagne bottles all the time.
Of course.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Just like in the store.
just randomly.
I can do it. I promise.
Hey, you want to see me open a champagne bottle?
It's a good party trick.
Yeah. So you are our get, as we like to say. You're a big guest. So tell us all about the world of paranormal entertainment that you've been seminal to.
What drew you into that?
Well, I started as a fan first. Mm. I've been into paranormal stuff since as long as I can remember. I'm sure we'll talk about my own paranormal experiences, but I saw my first ghost when I was 5. So I was always curious and always researching. And, you know, even in middle school, I was like the go-to person of anyone wanted to share a ghost story. I'm like, well, let me tell you what that is and let's break this down. So basically I was doing ghost hunters, but as a small child. And I really fell in love with the show Ghost Hunters. I was working at NBC in programming, and I just thought it was the most authentic representation of what I had experienced. Mm-hmm. And I really liked that the goal was to quantify the experience with scientific equipment. Because, you know, you always think that you're the crazy one when you had something happen.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty logical and grounded.
And other people typically think you're the crazy one as well.
Well, that's where it starts. And then you're like, I guess I am.
You internalize
crazy.
The doubt.
Right. But if you can point to other equipment and you can say, see, I'm not crazy because this is backing up what I'm saying, then it makes you feel a little less bananas.
Right.
So I was a fan of Ghost Hunters, and I ended up getting transferred from NBC to Sci-Fi Channel. When they first told me about the job, they were like, it's sci-fi. And I'm not really into like space operas and
neither am I.
And all that.
Sci-fi is my least favorite genre.
Yeah, I just didn't get it. I'm just not into it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Don't turn off the podcast.
For all the sci-fi fans.
But they said, no, it's an unscripted.
We don't care about you.
But they said it's an unscripted, you know, ghost hunters. And I was like, ghost hunters? And I started foaming at the mouth.
Oh, my God.
So I just basically...
They were like, are you okay?
Are you okay? Do you have rabies?
And I was like, I'm not. I did have rabies.
Yeah.
It's all cleared up now.
Good. Glad.
Phew. Yeah.
No, I just loved the show. And I... Having watched it for so long and having the programming background, it was really, it was a natural fit for me to oversee that show and a bunch of other series there. Like, basically, I was their ghost person, their paranormal executive. So, Ghost Hunters, Destination Truth, Paranormal Witness, those were the kind of shows that I oversaw. And it was really a dream come true because I got to go to all of these paranormal places and see the tools that they were using and even come up with new ideas of like, it would be really great if we could see a tool like this. And then we'd brainstorm with the executive producer and the ghost hunters and find new ways.
Yeah. So how does, so what's like the process for those shows? Talk us through a little bit.
The process for,
and like, how are episodes generated? Do you collect reports of like paranormal hauntings? Do you?
Yes. We had different criteria for like Ghost Hunters versus Destination Truth. Mm-hmm. Which was more looking for cryptids and that. Sometimes it was into the ghost, but there had to be, on Destination Truth, there had to be a current sighting. On Ghost Hunters, it could be an older sighting, but we had to be able to talk to the person who actually experienced it.
Not like an old family ghost, like your grandparents. Like,
yeah, we don't care about it.
Yeah, okay.
Right. No, I'm kidding. If it was your grandparents that you were communicating with, then great. But if it was just a story that had been passed down, then that wasn't quite enough.
Yeah.
Although we did look for at least 3 reports of paranormal activity. Mm-hmm. And then the history of the location, this was something that when I came in at season 4, and when I came in, I said, this is why I watched the show. So I'd like to hear the history. I'd like to really have it be something where I'm hearing a story.
Right.
It's not just like, oh, I saw this apparition in my room. It's how could this story possibly connect to what I saw?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we really focused on that. And the producers would just pitch me ideas for episodes. And then we'd go out on the road and shoot a whole bunch in a row and then bring all the footage back and put it together. So you might see, like, sometimes they would have 2 stories an episode. Mm-hmm. They might not have been shot at the same time, but it was just like putting the stories together to make the best episode.
Nice. And what's the standard Ghost Hunter toolkit, would you say?
So funny, because I actually was like, we should have a toolkit that we can sell online.
Yeah.
I mean, as an executive, I'm thinking all of the
brand and content.
Right. But then they didn't really consult with me when they built the kit. And then they were like, because it was your idea, we're going to give you a free kit. And I was like,
this sucks.
There's nothing in this kit that I need.
Yeah.
So there was a K2 meter, which, you know, and all of this stuff, there's different perspectives on how effective it is.
No, this is cold hard facts. It's effective. Ghosts are real.
Ghosts are real.
Yeah, okay.
I do believe ghosts are real.
Me too.
How we can interpret the equipment is always debatable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I know I've had experiences. Like, there was this promotional event we were doing at the Stanley Hotel with the Ghost Hunters. And I was in the room with them, and no one was touching the K2 meter. Mm. And they're trying to communicate. They're asking questions. And the K2 meter is spiking at the time, like, in response to the questions that they're asking. And then I was standing against this closet, and I didn't really know the story of this room, but standing against the closet, I swear I felt like a finger run down the back of my neck.
Yeah.
And I kind of shuddered, and I didn't say anything to anyone, and I just kind of moved forward. And it was totally pitch black in the room. Nobody could see me.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, Jason said, Jason, for those that don't watch Ghost Hunters, is one of the primary Ghost Hunters. Mm-hmm. Jason said, oh, we had to cut it short in the last group because there was a woman that felt somebody touching her neck and she freaked out. And that closet was a room where some creepy guy used to hang out in there and watch women in the room.
Yeah.
And I was I just got molested by a ghost. But I know what I saw, the K2 meter was spiking, and then I experienced activity right after it. So I can't say that's proof, but okay, back to what's in the kit. The K2 meter, which is basically the same thing as an EMF detector. It's just a different way to measure it. A thermometer, which usually like a laser thermometer works well because if you have fluctuations,
cold spots or whatever,
of course, right? But you never know. And then sometimes Jason would just say, let's just go old school. I'm going to put powder on the floor.
Yeah, and see the footprints
and see
or whatever.
If there's footprints.
Yeah.
But I find that the best tool that you have is really your own experience and your own sort of intuition. And now I've been on this whole other journey of developing as a psychic and medium. And it's really weird how the things that you hear in your head or that you experience when you say them out loud and you actually connect them to someone, you realize that you're not making them up. You're not crazy. Right. So maybe we don't even need tools. Just go in and experience what you experience.
Yeah.
What are your top stories from your time in the field?
I mean, I was on site during a very exciting episode of Ghost Hunters Live. Ghost Hunters Live was my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's live. And, you know, and really with that show, we always aimed to have it be authentic and document the Ghost Hunters experience as it happened.
Right.
So with live, it's happening in real time. So nobody can say like, oh, you're faking.
Faking in studio editing
or whatever.
Of course,
people always
say. Do, yeah, right.
But there was a moment where Grant's jacket got pulled. He was like, what's that? Mm-hmm. And you could see that it was pulled.
Yeah.
Now, I know I didn't fake it. There are people that are saying it might have
studio
been faked.
Trickery
and people, you know, we would have the people that would pull the clip and go like frame by frame
and be like,
do you see? I don't know. Like, I know those guys.
You can see what you saw.
They were always authentic with me.
Right.
But I know what I saw and I know what I experienced. And I was jumping up and down in the trailer when that happened because I'm like, yes,
yeah,
we
finally
have proof.
Yeah.
You know, it's always like, who's going to prove a ghost? How can you prove a ghost? And then we're like, proof. And then
they're like, not proof. Like, fake.
At Eastern State Penitentiary, I was not at that episode. That was before I was there. But there was this famous episode where it looked like a shadow, like a cape sort of. Swirling around on the upper level of the penitentiary. And the showrunner of Ghost Hunters, who became my producing partner after for a show called The Paranormal Project at Destination America, he's a real skeptic. And I said, well, were you there at Eastern State? Did you see that?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I did see that. That was pretty weird. And I said, well, what was it? It was a ghost. He's like, I don't know what it was. It's just like the difference between a skeptic's mind and a believer's mind. I'm like, look, ghost. It's proof. It's a ghost. And he's like, I don't know. It was weird. But he said, I definitely did see that black figure. And it was
weird.
Unusual.
Yeah.
And he just left it at that. So most of my experiences have happened outside of the show. Yeah, I was just always scared to like go to the bathroom even.
I'm sure.
I would like drag a PA with me because I'm like, some of these places we'd go to, these
are
old
decrepit and like run
forts
down.
From the 1800s and you know, they're dark and scary.
Menacing. Yeah.
I'm
it's
a little bit
of
a scaredy cat.
Yeah.
Like I could never actually be on Ghost Hunters because I was just too flippin' scared.
Yeah.
Like I just would not have survived a day.
Yeah.
How many people were usually in the group like when you went to a location? Would you say? Like, outside
not many.
Of the main guys. Yeah.
Not many because the crew had to be small for them to really be able to trust what they were getting. Because if you have a bunch of people walking up and down.
That's what I was wondering.
Like,
we did one episode at Buffalo Central Terminal that was a Ghost Hunters Live. And it was really hard to film in there because think of a big train terminal. It's this old abandoned train terminal. What do you think of? Like giant high ceiling
with
giant
any echo
spaces.
Sounds like huge.
So
and
it's an amazing location and there's tons of reports. Really hard to control sound in there, and for a live show we have a much bigger crew.
The nature
requires,
of the beast,
so that one was really hard because nobody could really trust what they were hearing or seeing or getting 100% because there were other people around in the building.
Right.
When it's an episode, usually it's just, if it's a standard episode, I usually wouldn't be on the road with them, but you know, it's basically, they'd go out in teams and it's basically like a camera operator, a sound guy and two ghost hunters and in various locations. And then they would go in teams and trade off, but it was really important to them that they didn't contaminate the evidence by having other teams talking and walking around at the same time.
Because I feel like a lot of like the biggest, I feel like skeptic thing I hear are like people, like non-believers, just like, oh, there's a intern or a PA in the other room throwing a rock or something.
I can tell you, we definitely did not do any of that.
Yeah, that's
what
I thought.
That
there's
was
no smoke and mirrors, at least that you're willing to expose.
No, I just never felt like we had to, because it made for a more interesting episode, actually.
Yeah.
If they could debunk everything, then when they did catch evidence, it was that much more believable.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so you found that maybe they would hear a voice on the recording, or they would have some experience that they couldn't actually quantify with the evidence.
Yeah.
But they only caught something like one out of every three episodes or four episodes. And it would be like the tiniest little thing.
Right, yeah.
Like, listen to this EVP again. Listen back to this EVP. Yeah, yeah. You know, and sometimes we would have to like make a lot of that because make a lot of that moment. Because, I mean, they're sitting there for
hours,
8 hours.
Yeah.
And we got one EVP out of 8 hours.
Yeah. What? So briefly, what is like the shooting schedule? Is it just like an overnight for each location, or do you return to the location, or?
Sometimes it would be two nights in the location, but a lot of times it was just one.
Yeah.
And so they really start. That's the other reason I could never be a ghost hunter.
I mean, it probably starts at what, like 10 p.m.
They start at
10,
and then they go until like 3 in the morning. Yeah. In the morning. And that's just not my life.
Yeah, not
I
go
to bed
jam.
At 10,
yeah.
so
yeah.
I couldn't really roll with it. But I believe that activity is around you at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So personally, I don't think you have to wait until, what do they call it, dead time or, you know.
Yeah, 3 a.m. is supposed to be like the witching hour or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't believe that you really need to wait until that time to have.
I think ghosts are all around us every day.
Yeah, it's just that we're busier and we're talking and we're moving around, so we don't notice it.
Yeah.
But you notice it more at 3 a.m.
When you're home alone.
Or like the summer when I was staying in a stone house from the 1600s.
Mm-hmm. High
in
potential.
In Hurley,
high
New
potential,
York.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was dead asleep, and I felt someone and heard someone cough right in my ear.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, well, maybe it was my... I sat up in bed, and I was like, that was really loud.
Loud, yeah.
Vivid.
Yeah.
And my husband was out cold asleep next to me, and... I stayed up for a while watching
waiting.
Him saying like maybe he is coughing.
What are you planning?
Or maybe and he was asleep and I just know that was not just my dream because I felt it and I heard it in my ear.
Yeah.
So, you know, things like that it startles you when it happens at 3 a.m. But in that same house later the next day, in the middle of the day, I heard a woman's voice.
Hmm.
Right.
I was like, I gotta get out of the stone house. This
time
is
to
crazy.
Go.
Too bad you can't stay, baby.
My parents' house is pretty, there's a lot of activity at my parents' house, and it's like I've seen things in the day, and it's almost like you're able to brush it off easier, I think, than when you see it at night, and you're like, oh,
this
I just want to sleep. Yeah.
Oh, actually, to briefly interrupt, you have a ghost story that you wanted to update.
Oh,
us
I
on.
Did see a ghost.
Yeah.
Very recently. Yeah, a couple, like, so my parents live literally just down this alleyway. They live very close to me. We have a weird relationship. Very close. But I go and sleep there sometimes when Stirred Spirit scares me too much, when people come on and scare me, which is silly because their house is a lot more
intimate
than
more
my
haunted,
apartment
really,
does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was there the other night, and I was like, oh, I'm going to sleep on their couch. And I woke up in the middle of the night to, like, a footstep.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that my mom had, like, come out of her bedroom. I, like, slept on their couch. And I looked up, and there was just, like, dark air in the kitchen.
Oof.
It's like someone staring at me.
A shadow figure.
Yeah.
As they say.
As they say. And I looked right at it, and it was like we were, like, had a stare
moment.
Off for a second. And I was like, maybe I'm dreaming. Because I was like, no, someone's, like, looking at me. And I was like, I'll lucid dream a lot and I'll like count my fingers. Like your hand will be fucked up if you're dreaming a lot of the time, like you won't be able to count fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I counted my finger. I was like, my hand's normal. And I grabbed my phone and I like shined a light and no one was there. And I was like, okay. And I stayed awake for a while. And I was like, it's fine. It's fine. And the next morning when I was like out of the house, I said to my mom, like, I need to tell you something. I saw something in your house last night. She's like, was it a dark, shadowy figure?
Oh, no.
And I was like, yep. She goes, I've seen that like three nights in a row now.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, well are you going to do
I'll
something
I'll be in
about
my
it?
Apartment.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not coming to your house for a while. I guess she did, like, she, the, that day, like, talked to it and, like, saged the house and stuff, and she hasn't seen anything since. But she was just, it was just like, we both, like, confirmed each other's experiences.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. Cool.
I'm good. Cool. Yeah.
I had a confirming experience. We have activity. My house is 100 years old, which, like, for people
and you have
not
that
in
scary
LA.
Vault cellar thing.
Oh,
which could be haunted.
Thomas, it's the tiniest. Yeah, it's a little box in the floor. We have a safe that was locked for, it's been locked for decades.
Wow.
And we had a 100th birthday party for the house and cracked the safe to find there was nothing in it.
Yay!
But ghosts.
Oh, yeah,
but
unleashed
you unleashed the spirits.
Them.
But just a Ouija board.
But just,
there was
the body of
it.
A dead child.
And a penny.
And a penny. Yeah.
No, there was nothing in it. But aside from that, I've always had experiences in our kitchen. Once we had a picture that seemed to jump off the wall.
Jeez.
And there's a door that constantly unlocks itself. And I, like a detective, I'll go to everyone in the house. I'm like, did you unlock the door? Did you unlock the door? Did you unlock the door? And my husband, he's very straight laced. And he'll look at me and kind of roll his eyes like, oh, here she goes again. No, I'm sure someone unlocked the door. Mm. You're making this up. And I'm like, okay. I've had the stove turn on its own, like click, click, like flames all by itself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's somebody here. And then I and the cleaning lady have both kind of, I don't see a lot of times spirits like with my eyes, but I'll like know that they're there.
Yeah.
And so there's this guy that I always see.
In your periphery,
I'm doing air quotes, walking along this path in my backyard.
Oh.
And the cleaning lady was like, oh, yeah. I said, did you see the guy? And she's like, yeah. And she described him to me without me saying. She described him the same way that
so
I saw him.
So she's like, she sees him. Like with
she
features
saw
and
him. She said she thought it was our gardener. And she turned and looked, and then nobody was there. And then I discovered, we did some construction, and I discovered that there had been a stairway that went from the street up to that place in the fence where we always saw the guy walking from. And I was like, oh, that makes total sense. This is just him doing his path.
Yeah.
So my husband always thought I was making this up and I was crazy. And then last night or 2 nights ago, we've been trying to help our son sleep in his own room. He always,
does he
I think
see
he's
ghosts?
Maybe. I mean, I think the kids are always a little bit more
susceptible.
Older.
Yeah.
Thomas, that jacket is so
it's real
loud.
Crinkling and crackling.
Like, can
yeah.
you take
it's
off?
Ocean City, gotta rep the badge. New Jersey boy.
We want to see the Hawaiian shirt.
The Hawaiian shirt. Okay.
Take it off.
Okay.
In your crinkly jacket.
Crinkling
and crackling. All I hear
is my ghost
crinkly.
Story.
Yeah. Please okay. stop ruining the flow
Thank
of the
yes,
show.
Yes.
Feel better now?
I liked the jacket, but it's okay.
Do you want a blanket?
No, it's fine.
I'll just blow hot air on you.
Yes, yeah.
And we can pretend it's a ghost.
Yeah.
So my husband wakes up and he said, did you turn off the light in Julian's room? And I'm like, no, but now I'm trying to play it down. I said, no, well, maybe the our electricity sometimes is a little funky. It's an old house. I said, oh, sometimes it just shorts out. And he's like, okay. And I could tell he was still trying to process
turning.
It.
Yeah.
And then he goes downstairs and I come down a little bit later and he said, did you take the stopper out of the wine bottle? And it was right in that area, right next to the door that always opens. And I just looked at him and smiled
like,
and said, no, I did not. No, I did not. And I know the kids couldn't get up there. So I didn't do it and he didn't do it. And there was no one else in the house. And I just go, welcome to my world. So maybe we'll turn Seth into a believer before
just,
long.
Yeah.
But I mean, seeing this logical man try to puzzle how this could have happened and like the furrowing of his brow was so strong.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And he's not going to figure it out because there is no explanation.
Yeah.
Well, there's an explanation.
Right, ghosts. So what would you say your scariest experience is then?
I was staying at a retreat center in Hawaii, in Maui, up in the mountains. Where it's cold and dreary and it rained every day. I thought, oh, I'm going to Maui.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Fun in the sun.
It was like raining and roaches and
roaches,
like white cockroaches.
Oh.
Yeah.
And ghosts.
And ghosts, great.
And ghosts. And, you know, one of the theories is that when it's raining and thundering and lightning and ionizes the air and it makes the paranormal activity increase.
Like it is today. Yes. And not so sunny Silver Lake.
Spooky day. You might be needing your jacket.
Right.
So I'm staying in the room with a roommate. I didn't know her. We were just paired together as roommates. And so, you know, you don't want to come out of the weirdness closet too early on.
I believe in ghosts.
But every night at like 2 a.m, we would hear, I mean, it sounded like somebody was moving furniture. Yeah. It was like bang, 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 bang for like 10 minutes.
Jeez. Oh my God.
And I woke up and then I'm like, well, don't be weird. You don't even know her.
It's fine.
It's fine. Yeah. It's probably somebody in the room behind us. Just go back to sleep. And it happened again the next night. And it happened again the next night. And I'm talking like violent sounding, like it sounded like someone, came home drunk with a vengeance.
Yeah.
And so finally I said something to the roommate and I'm like, are you hearing this? And she's like,
oh yeah.
Yeah, I heard it. It must just be the people behind us. But why are they up at 2 a.m?
Yeah, what are they doing?
Like, what are they doing? Yeah. So the next day, we talked to the people who were on the other side, and we said, have you been up a lot in the night? And they're like, no, we thought it was you.
Oh, my God.
We've been hearing this banging. And we're like, really? You haven't gotten out of bed? No. So that was a little bit scary. And then I had several experiences that sort of confirmed. Like, there was another night where we were standing on the porch and I heard a footstep and a cough. And it was so vivid that I stepped forward thinking someone was trying to pass behind me. And this was not at 2 a.m. This was at like 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all the people around me, we all looked to the space thinking that there was someone there and there was no one there. And of course, I was with 2 skeptics.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you heard that, right? You saw that. And they're like, what? I think sometimes like they get this amnesia when they're not.
They just don't want to like open themselves to it, I feel.
And right. Then, I'm cataloging everything.
Yeah, right.
And I'm
that
was a ghost.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I also kept seeing this white figure that would run. We were near the woods, and so I would see it run from the edge of the woods from right to left.
Oh.
And I saw this a couple of nights and did not say it to anyone.
Yeah.
And then the woman whose room was behind us, she was staying with her son who's like 19, and she said, oh, he saw his first ghost here. Cool. And I said, well, what? I'm very careful to not give people too much.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said, them to confirm it, kind of.
I said, what did he see? She said, oh, he saw this white figure running from the back of the pool along the woods from the right to the left. And I was like, I saw it too.
Yeah.
I saw it too. So that was just scary because it was so, I've never experienced such a embodied spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me to see it, hear it, and feel
it.
I mean, I felt it like walking behind me. So I move forward and I'm like, wait, there's no one there.
Yeah.
I had never experienced it that strong.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pause to change battery.
Okay, sounds good.
That's cool. All right, we're back.
All right, we are back. And so you have a spooky tale about your childhood ghost experiences.
Right. So I was saying I started having experiences when I was 5.
Right.
And tried to make sense of it. And it was particularly weird for me because I feel like whatever was in my house would come to me in the form of people that I knew. So when I was 5, it was my dad that I saw standing over my bed, not like hovering. standing at the, and I was like, is this weird? But I did call out to him and he's standing at the foot of my bed and I said, dad, and he just was staring at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is weird, like
yeah.
Yeah.
this is not my dad. And then I just I remember turning my head to my pillow and I looked back and he was gone. So dad can't just disappear into thin air. So that's when I started to think, oh, there's something going on here. And then a few years later, I had an experience. My sister slept, her room was in the basement and she slept like a log. Like when she's out, she's out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I woke up and I saw, it looked like there were clouds in my room and they cleared. And then I saw her sitting on her, I had twin beds in my room. And I saw her sitting on the other bed, looking up out of the window, like in this really creepy, it was like, you know, those precious moments dolls that like grandmas all have. She looked like one of those. Okay. And I was like, oh, hi, Dion. And then I was like, Dion, what are you doing up here? And she's just like looking out the window. And I freaked out and ran into my parents' room. And I mean, I still remember like being in my parents' bed and my heart just like beating out of my chest. And then I had an experience in the bright daylight. Uh-huh. I saw my dog walking down the hall.
See, I love a good animal ghost. I think they're so cute.
Well, I don't know if it was an animal ghost or if it was just this person, but or entity or whatever. But it was never malicious, but I just knew it was there. And I saw the dog, broad daylight, walk through the living room. And then we had those sort of Chinese screens. Mm. So it walked behind the screen. And she would often do this. She walked behind the screen. And then I assumed she went behind the screen and down behind the couch. And so as I often did, I chased her behind the screen. And I looked down and she was not behind the couch. And I'm like, that's weird. So then I went into the den. And she was sitting on her pillow asleep. And even her little paws were like running. She was out. She was out cold. So I don't know if it was like her body, like she was projecting herself. I don't know if dogs have the ability to really astral project or something. But
I hope they do.
That'd be dope.
It would be dope. But I think it was whatever this thing was. And I read up on it because it just was so disturbing to me as a kid. And what I found was that spirits would sometimes come in the form of something a child could understand to not frighten them. But then when I was 17, I woke up and I looked to the side of my bed and I saw a white figure. It was about 5 feet tall, like just standing at the side of my bed. And I had been asking for it to come in its real form. Really? By then I was older and I had a little more handle on what was happening. And I just sat up in my bed. Can I swear?
Yeah, of course. Oh, yeah. We've buttoned up quite a bit for this episode. Typically,
I don't usually swear. And, you know, I work in TV and I host TV shows now.
Let it rip.
So I just sat up in my bed and I go, no way. And I'm looking at it and it's like backing towards the door. And I go, no way. No fucking way. And I just really wanted to see it so bad that I turned on my light and then it was gone.
It was gone, yeah.
And I stayed up for like another hour just watching the same area, hoping it would reappear, and it never did.
I
had some other like little experiences, like curtains moving on their own. We had those curtains that you pull down that, you know, you pull on them and they retract.
Yeah.
I always think it'd be so scary if like a face was just like waiting for you when it goes like shoo.
Well, this was just as scary because we were just sitting there and I was sitting there with my mom. My mom's on the phone in her room and the curtain just snapped up to the top and then kept rotating at the top, just going around and around and around and around. And my mom's on the phone and I looked at her like,
what?
Did you just see that?
Yeah.
And she's just totally blank. I think she didn't really, she's not as open to all these things happening. So I think there was a woman I know that owned, the woman who owned the house before us did die while she owned the house. I don't know if she died in the home, but I don't know that it really matters. I think it was her. It never felt malicious. It felt more like she was kind of watching over me. Like all those times she was just like standing there, just watching.
Yeah.
So it was like a little creepy when I was a kid, but now I feel like it was more maternal.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's sweet.
Creepy stories.
And so you just got sort of, you know, you've been certified as a psychic. You were telling
me. I am now a certified psychic medium. I can't reveal, I've been certified by a program started by a very famous psychic medium. I can't announce it yet who it is, but I just, I've realized that all these little experiences, I've always been drawn to it. Mm-hmm. And I was actually working on a show with James Van Prague. I can say that psychic medium's name. And he kept throwing out these terms that I didn't understand, like group link, clairsentience, like all of these psychic-y terms. And I thought, I should try to understand what he's talking about. So I enrolled in this psychic medium class just to get better at producing this kind of content and understanding what the heck James was talking about. And I found within two classes that I really had it.
Wow.
I mean, I remember she did this memory game for the first class where she put out all of these, you know, the cards, like the memory matching game. And she's like, don't think, just go based on your gut and try and grab the image and then just try and find the match, but don't think about it. So we're doing it for like a minute. And she's like, just put all your matches aside. And then at the end, she said, okay, now I want you to count your matches. So like the other people in the class were like, how many matches? I have 4. I have 6. And I just looked down and I went,
I got all of them.
I have 32.
That's crazy.
And then I was like, can I really do this? And so I just have continued to study it. And then when I had the opportunity to do this certification program, it's sort of like a test for me.
Yeah.
And the test process was grueling. We had to do 3 45-minute readings, psychic, Jesus, medium, and a hybrid, sitting across from someone with absolutely no, they couldn't nod, they couldn't blink.
Stonewall.
They had to just look at you, and you had to just deliver psychic medium information for them. And I got the feedback that I was right on with all of them. And I mean, it's kind of even shocked myself, but I've realized I've actually been doing this the whole time. Like times I was reading tarot, I was tapping into my psychic ability. Even the times on set with Ghost Hunters.
Yeah.
Like maybe I was so freaked out to go to the bathroom because I could feel the spirits there in a way that other people couldn't.
Yeah.
So in terms of like the readings and stuff, so I'm always curious, is like, do you just like, does an answer just like pop into your head? Do you feel like a physical, like weird energy kind of between you and the person that like a current almost that like lets you tap in? Like, how would you describe like?
Well, everyone has a different way. And especially doing this course, I've heard all different ways that people are like, oh, I hear voices like externally. I've been seeing angels. And I'm like, I don't know. I just see things in my mind's eye. I hear things. And what do you call it? Your mind's ear.
Mind's ear.
And then I say it out loud and people are like, yeah, that connects for me. So the reading will be past, present, future, basically. You tell someone about experiences that you couldn't otherwise know about to gain their trust that, okay, you're picking up on something from my soul or my story. And then this is what you're dealing with now. And then you can go into predicting the future of, I see you 3 months from now with a move, blah, 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 blah. And then there's like various areas that people like to generally know about. And it could be finance, health, relationship, of course, now that we didn't even talk about this, but now that I'm a dating coach.
Yes. Yeah.
Like maybe I'll be the love psychic.
Yeah. That's a good brand.
I like it.
Medium is talking to people who've passed on. So that's really more like when you tell me about the shadow person that you're sort of communicating with.
Yeah.
That to me feels like mediumship. And medium is really, though, when you're kind of channeling the information. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when I'm doing a medium reading, the person's mannerisms will come out in their way of speaking. Mm-hmm. Like I was doing one and I'm like, she keeps making me want to sit up straight. Like, was she a very proper person? And was she very concerned about the way you presented yourself? And they're like, yeah, she was. Oh, my gosh. So I'll get it through all my senses, clairvoyance, seeing, clairaudience, hearing, clairsentience, feeling. But it's really remarkable when you start to tap into it.
Yeah.
You realize that all these little experiences that you had, whether you saw a ghost or heard it, it's just communication from the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, can you do a little mini reading? Or you don't have, you feel free to say no.
Oh, man.
Like, I don't want to put you on the spot. You can totally say no.
I would rather not because I've been drinking.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, totally understand.
I'm like, we could try it. I mean, we could try it. I just don't know. You want medium?
No.
Hailey says no. Okay. which one?
Do you have, okay, we're still recording?
Yeah.
Yeah. do you have a grandmother who's in spirit? Feels like grandmother on your mother's side.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and I feel that you two, okay, so she feels to me like very, she was kind of strict, but with you, she was a little bit more, she was softer with you than she was with anyone else. Can you connect to that?
Yeah.
And oh, interesting. So she's also telling me that she had, so she was kind of into this, but I feel that she, it feels to me that she's pressing it down.
Okay.
So did, were there paranormal experiences or she's saying voices. So she would kind of hear things. And I'm not sure if she ever revealed this, but she would hear things and she seems very logical to me. So she would try to make sense of it. Do you understand that?
So this only happened at the tail end, especially during that point. She would like hear her brother a lot who died young. I don't know.
So I'm going to tell you a secret about your grandmother. She was actually hearing these voices all along.
Mm-hmm.
It was just towards the end, she was more able to
access, or like there were less walls there up, less, perhaps.
Well, because she was very concerned. She's like making me want to fix my shirt.
Yes.
Because she was very concerned with the way that she was presented.
Uh-huh.
And she definitely didn't want anyone to think she was crazy or hearing
voices. Okay, yeah.
She feels like very much like a woman. She's saying like a woman of the community. Like she was someone that school board or like city, but she was someone that would speak for other people in the community. Does that make sense?
I would have to ask my mom, to be honest. I don't know that part of her.
So can you understand that she was a woman that spoke her mind about things and had opinions about how like she'd have a lot of opinions right now about like
about this
Trumpification of everything. And about this very opinionated.
Yeah.
And but it was all kind of driven by how does this affect like my family and the people close to
okay.
me.
Okay. Right? Yeah.
She's showing me to be very very family oriented, and she's showing that the unit is very important.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that her family was separated. There was there were people that were not in where she lived.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
And that was something that was really hard for her. And I'm seeing like quite a distance, like they were in another country, and she hated being separated from her family. And so when she had kids, grandkids, it was just, I'm seeing her like wanting to gather you guys up and really be a family again, she's saying. So it does feel like maybe there was a rift, because she said be a family again. So was there a period in time where there was a rift with your mom, or was there a rift with, no, it feels her mom. There was a rift with her mom. Do you understand this?
I would have to ask my mom. I don't know about my great-grandmother. I think my oldest aunt was kind of like a dark horse. I think that she kind of left the brood for a bit. Would that make any sense?
It feels like there was a female that she had a...
like a complicated relationship with?
It feels to me like a break.
Okay.
Like, we are not talking to each other anymore.
Okay, yeah.
And it was something where she felt like she had to hold her ground, but she always questioned if it was the right thing to do. I do feel like a home transition coming up for you.
Okay.
Like a lease or new lease that's being signed.
Uh-huh,
And so I don't know if there was like a rift with a landlord or a roommate or something like that, but there was something with your home space that is a part of your decision to move. And she's saying, let it go. And actually, usually she was someone that was really able to let things go. There was just this one issue that she just never really repaired.
With who? With your, me? Or no, with the home?
The female?
The homestead or whatever?
Your grandmother.
Yes.
she's not someone who said she was sorry very often. So she's like, sorry is not really the word. But she feels bad that it just couldn't be resolved. And she couldn't see a way for it to be fixed. It feels like there was also some dispute around money. Like, if there was an inheritance.
And
it was not resolved. Uh-huh. And she's like, I just wish it could have been, she's saying cleaned up. She could have cleaned it up. Before she left. I feel like
this is really weird.
I feel like she had plans to get things in order. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like her she started getting like confused before she could do that.
Okay.
So this is one of the things that if she had had more wherewithal, she would have fixed it before she passed. Is that understood?
Yeah.
Do you understand that? So her message for you is first to deliver that. If you can, if it feels appropriate to you, that she's sorry that wasn't resolved.
Okay.
And then for you to also remember that she's saying relationships are really important, and don't let the little stuff get in the way of your important relationships.
Wow. Yeah. That's almost all spot on. That's crazy.
That's
thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. And that was after a glass of champagne.
Yeah. Wow.
All right.
Well, have stirred spirits, everybody. Thank you. I think we'll end on that. Thank you for joining us for this bonus episode. I'm thoroughly shook, as the kids like to say.
Yeah, you
were. Well, thank you, Grandmom, for all those words of advice. I hope you're doing well out there in the ether.
She's doing great.
That's good. She's glad she's having a good time.
She's a party animal on the spirit side.
Good,
so.
Good. I'm glad.
No, she's social. She's social. Okay. So she's like back to being social.
That's nice. Well, glad to hear it, Grandma. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us.
Now I creeped you out. You're never going to have me back.
Yeah, thank you for having us. Thank you for having us. Thank you for coming on Stirred Spirits.
You and your spirits. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
I got to collect my thoughts for a moment.
I've really been stirred. Through
the spirits are stirred.
Thank you for letting me read.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun and very enlightening, I would say. What would you like to plug, Nimona?
Well, on a completely different note, I host the Dates and Mates with Nimona Hoffman podcast, where we don't do anything psychic.
Related to this whatsoever.
Or spiritual. I had a yoga episode a couple weeks ago. That's about, that's this... as spooky as
spiritual
we
as it got.
We do a Halloween. That was not a good. We have a Halloween episode every year, which you remember from last year.
Dating horror stories.
Dating horror stories we do every year.
Fun.
So we have lots of fun stuff coming up there. And then I'm at DimonaHoffman.com. So if you want dating advice,
or
maybe you want to talk to the love psychic,
hop
on over to DimonaHoffman.com or follow me on the socials at Nimona Hoffman.
Lovely. Hadley, any plugs?
You know me.
No plugs.
I'll just say hey.
All right. Hello. You can follow me on Instagram at big_sad_dad. You can follow me on Twitter at @_sad_dad. Follow Merry-Go-Round Magazine. I believe that the time this episode airs, we will be launching tomorrow. So follow us on at merrygoroundmagazine.com for all your pop culture hot takes, and follow us on the socials at MGR Magazine. This is actually the last episode we'll be doing for a while.
For a little
so
bit.
So we probably won't see you again till the new year is what I would guess, but we are coming back bigger and better than ever. So thank you for tuning into this bonus episode of Stirred Spirits, and happy Halloween.
Sweet.